Peace be with you. I am Bruce Wozniak. This is Catholic Sports Radio, located at the intersection of your faith life and sports life, and on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and lots of other platforms. We are closing out February and started off this month by having hit the three-year anniversary of this show. My sincere thanks again to all who have been listening to Catholic Sports Radio and to the great guests that have been on CSR over that period of time. Speaking of saying thanks, there's someone who I have to single out and express my gratitude towards. You will want to listen for that later in this episode because the name is going to get your attention. Do please help me spread the word about this show, though. I would greatly appreciate if you would tell others to listen in as well. The show website is CatholicSportsRadio.net, where you will find lots to engage with, including logos to click on to follow the show on Facebook, Twitter, or Instagram. I want to again acknowledge Merchantside Marketing Group and the terrific job that they did in creating CatholicSportsRadio.net. It bears repeating that they do not pay me to talk about them. They are not a sponsor, but if you had a website done for you that looks as good as the one they built for me, you would be telling lots of your friends, colleagues, neighbors, etc. too. I've mentioned several times in this show that their owner is a devout Christian. He has put together an award-winning company that has earned honors ranging from best marketing firm in Tampa Bay to best web developer, highest rated marketing agency, and even was recognized by the local Chamber of Commerce as Business of the Year. There is also great pride, I know, in Merchantside Marketing Group being a veteran-owned business. Use one of their ads on CatholicSportsRadio.net to go over to their website and get in touch with them to talk about your web and or marketing needs, and of course, tell them you heard about them on this show. Now on to my ministry moment for this episode. Way back on episode 91 of this show, my guest was Andy Saunier, who, among other teams, spent time in athletic training with the then Houston Oilers of the National Football League. There are countless people in thankless roles like that in a long list of sports all over, doing work that is hugely important yet goes largely unnoticed. They really are being servants to their sport, to the teams, the athletes that they work with. The guys and gals in these roles are doing work that is for the greater good of that program, that organization. It's not about themselves and being in the spotlight. They are putting others first. And isn't this exactly what our Savior calls us to do? As recently as last week at Daily Mass, we heard in chapter 9 of Mark's Gospel that in verse 41, Jesus says to his disciples, quote, "Anyone who gives you a cup of water to drink because you belong to Christ, amen, I say to you, will surely not lose his reward," end quote. Friends, reward in the sense of a paycheck, I'm sure, is not what folks such as athletic trainers would say is their motivator for doing the jobs they have. Being in service to our brothers and sisters in Christ and being witnesses to our faith should be the reason we extend that hand to one another. Moving on now with this week's episode, my guest is what you might call a late bloomer with an amazing story of being far more active in sports now than he was at traditional youth, student, and postgraduate ages due to his upbringing. An adventure traveler, present day, he participates in running, biking, hiking, and skiing. His devotion to his Catholic faith can be seen in that 2 months ago, he put out a book that is designed to help business owners determine both when to sell and how to sell their companies. Yet, by sharing his personal story, he achieved number one Amazon new release status in the Catholic self-help category. Welcome to Catholic Sports Radio, Ed Velaitis.
Thank you, Bruce. It's a pleasure to be here.
Yes, Ed, you and I were connected through a mutual acquaintance because us and him are all based in the Tampa Bay area. But where were you born and raised? What was the family size? And was this a Catholic household?
I grew up in Cleveland, Ohio, and I had three sisters, and I was the second oldest. And our family was, we actually went to Catholic elementary school for the first 8 years. At the same time, we did not go to Mass every Sunday. We hit the major holidays, as would be accurate.
Okay. Well, last week, right out of the gate, my very first question to Father Craig Vosick really started the interview off quite impactfully as he talked about the trouble he got into with tobacco at seventh grade, and then later alcohol and being suspended in high school, which affected his eligibility for sports. This week, I'm waiting until all of the second question of the show to dive right into the tough stuff. Ed, share with the audience about the environment you grew up in as it relates to your dad and why you didn't have time for sports.
Yeah. My dad had his own company. He had a landscaping business, and my parents married young, so his business was faltering, and it was becoming similar to the present day with with rampant inflation and Cold War, etc. So it's starting to remind me of the past lately. So it was a difficult environment. We had bill collectors calling because the business was floundering, and so my parents' relationship was suffering, and he began drinking heavily, and so it was quite challenging, and I was the only son, and was serious minded and felt an obligation to try to keep the marriage together with my parents. And so I did a lot of interesting things, and I'm not sure how much to elaborate now, but at the end of the day, it was I'd go to work every Saturday at a young age, starting at about 8, and I would do that and all summer long, so that after he would finish working, instead of going to the bar, I could get him to come home, or if he did go to the bar with me, then I could, you know, coax him out of there after one or two drinks, all in the service of the family. So
yeah, there's I like in your book, it says that you became very adept at cold calling at a young age, because you were in fact calling the local taverns asking if he was in there, trying to get him to come home.
Yeah, yeah. So that was part of the journey. And so we literally would get, you know, collection calls, you know, and other kind of things. So he actually had played football and at St. Joseph Catholic High School. But, you know, he did not really have the time, or, you know, just didn't put the effort into teaching me how to throw a ball, catch a ball, you know, really – you know, help train, condition, or just, you know, inform me on sports. So I never really had picked it up. Plus, I was much more worried about keeping the family intact. And so I just, you know, did a lot of really hard physical labor and, you know, did what I could to keep things moving. And the irony was that I was whenever we'd play a pickup game of football or something, I was extremely fast. So if I had to get open, I would get open. I mean, I would, you know, with my speed and cutting, you know, people just couldn't, you know, keep up with me. The downside was I didn't know much, didn't really know how to catch. So I would fumble far too often. At the same time, if I was covering someone, there's no way they could clear. Just no way. So and also had a very high competitive nature. So I was very competitive and very strong. So typically the funny thing is, I look back on it now, but it would take, when I would wrestle, it would usually take 2-3 guys to pin me down, you know. So so I sort of underutilized at a young age, but
I want to just, before we move on, I want to just underscore the importance of the audience understanding that the environment that you grew up in your book, it says, quote, "My grandparents and parents escaped both the Nazis and the communist Russians and fled to the United States." And audience, as you're listening to Ed describe what he was doing, trying to, as he keeps saying, being in service to the family, he writes in his book, quote, "There were many nights I would get off my bed with tears in my eyes and pray on my knees that they would still be married and I'd still have a mom and dad in the morning," end quote. And Ed, please react to that, because I'm getting emotional and I need you to kind of fill for a minute, because that's really heavy to picture, you know, a young boy going through, in addition to everything that you described.
Right. So I was, because of my birth date, I ended up being, you know, one of the youngest kids in the class in school. And that combined with being shy didn't serve me well, in the sense that at school I was being bullied, you know, get picked out by two or three bullies, and that they consistently, you know, targeted and tormented me. And the fact that I was a little bit younger meant I was a little bit younger in development, both, you know, intellectually and physically. So I was, you know, playing catch up with people in my class. So, you know, going to class and going to school was a trauma. And I'd come home and, you know, I certainly wasn't highly incentivized to crack the books and do my homework, et cetera. I was, you know, was dealing with more important issues in my mind at that time. You know, I've just, you know, working and helping out and trying to keep peace in the family. So it was, I saw my school problems as relatively minor. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, my mother and father didn't really know what I was going through at school.
Wow. Well, and folks, you heard me say in the intro about everything that Ed is doing sports-wise today, and you did hear him say, you know, I do want to clarify, when I say that he didn't participate in sports in his youth, there was, as you just heard, a little bit that he was able to do, albeit recreationally, pick up football games, some hunting that we didn't talk about. But Ed, hearing everything that we have so far from you, does it make you appreciate the sports that you participate in now more than probably someone your age who did grow up playing sports than they might have, being that you overcame everything that you've talked about so far?
Yes. I mean, I, you know, whether it's running in 5Ks, 10Ks, or whether it's paragliding off of a mountain in Switzerland, or doing adventure hiking in Glacier National Park, and climbing, you know, hiking mountains and, you know, going 12 miles and up 6,000 feet in elevation. I mean, I enjoy what I would, you know, the more the extreme side of it, of adventure and sports, and I really relish that. In fact, I do some volunteering on the side for STAR. It's an organization that helps special force operators who are getting ready to retire, so Navy SEALs, etc. And I have found, you know, that when I'm with them and I'm coaching and helping them over the years, is that we are, you know, pretty symbiotic. And had it been a different youth, you know, I might have joined their ranks, because they, you know, we just are both. I'm often mistaken for one of the special operators when we have group meetings, by, you know, just because of my fitness and my my demeanor and my, you know, strategic skills and all of that. So I think it was maybe a miscalling, let's say.
Yeah. Well, we will come back to present day and some of the different activities that you're doing sports wise, but now that we've heard about your youth, take us to, say, maybe your college years. What did your faith life look like then, either on its own or compared to your youth, or even compared to what it looks like now? Were you actively practicing your faith, or were you all about academics and getting a college degree so you could get your business career started?
Well, I did not have a lot of mentoring and coaching and guidance from my parents. So they're you know, at the time, they were, you know, go to college, don't go to college, do whatever you want to do. So there wasn't really a lot of direction or expectation. And so initially I just took a few classes at a community college and ended up liking it. And so I kept going and ended up earning an associate degree. And then I went to work for Deutsche Bank in commercial banking, and then I went back while working for them for my bachelor's degree and then my MBA. And so I kind of finished my education on the later side.
Well, folks, right before we hit record and went on the air with this episode, Ed made a statement to me about wanting to save 1,000 babies. And I do also want to start rolling my sleeves up with the various sports activities that he participates in, especially because they seem to have a common thread, which is opportunities to be alone and talk to God while competing. And of course, I want to ask him more about his book, because in the About the Author portion of the book's listing on Amazon, it even says that he enjoys, among other things, trying to follow God's will for his life. But before I get into all of that with him, way back at the very start of this episode, I said that I had someone to thank whose name would get your attention. That someone is the latest donor to my Catholic Sports Radio ministry. As you likely know by now, I am routinely faced with financial challenges in running everything here myself, meaning that not only do I not have a staff or volunteers, but all the work that I do for what you hear on the air, yes, but lots more that goes on behind the scenes and costs that come with doing a lot of that, all of which, unfortunately, I have to take out of my own pocket since I don't get any income from doing this, nor do I have any sponsors. However, Tom Brady has recently made a financial contribution to Catholic Sports Radio, and I'm grateful to him for that. He and I traded some emails and even a DM or two on Instagram. He found the show on Spotify and was kind enough to use the Donate to CSR button on the homepage of CatholicSportsRadio.net to show his support for my ministry. And this is where I tell you that he's not living here in the Tampa Bay area, nor was he the Buccaneers quarterback or even a football player for that matter. This is actually someone named Tom Brady who lives in Connecticut and is a lot younger than the future Pro Football Hall of Famer. When someone contributes to this ministry like that Tom Brady did, it also tells me that you enjoy Catholic Sports Radio, you recognize and appreciate the work that I'm doing, and you want to see it continue and help people in their faith life. As Tom Brady saw on CatholicSportsRadio.net, there is a Donate to CSR button that makes it fast and easy for you to contribute securely online in any amount you wish. There's no drop-down menu of amounts to choose from. You put in whatever you're comfortable with. Do please prayerfully consider what you can do for this ministry in terms of financial support to help me offset the various costs that I have detailed over a number of episodes of this show. And by the way, instead of doing it online electronically through the website, alternatively, as some folks have opted to do instead, you can get in touch with me through the contact section of Catholic Sports Radio.net to ask for the mailing address, and I will personally write you back with the details on where you can send a check. And as you're hearing me do on this episode, I will happily say on the air the name of anyone who contributes to this ministry, or as some have chosen to do, you can remain anonymous. I'm grateful to everyone who listens to the show and would most appreciate your considering Catholic Sports Radio as part of your tithing as I continue working to use this ministry to bring more people closer to Christ. Ed, your book is called Exit Like a Winner, The Proven Success Formula for Selling Your Business. There's something I saw in the About the Author text that says, quote, Ed believes that actions have consequences and personal responsibility is the surest path to goodness and greatness. And I think that line right there shows why, even though this is a business book, it landed number one Amazon new release status in the Catholic self-help category.
Yes. When I was writing the book, I began 18 months ago, and I had been pushed by God in my experience in going to church, and I would be trying to pay attention to the service and the homily, and then I would get interrupted and was asked, what are you doing for my children? Hmm. And it reached the point of harassment, and so I'd go to church and trying to pay attention, and you know, and at times I would say in my mind, I'd say, you know, kind of, could you keep it down? I'm trying to worship you here. So it really had that feeling about it, and so he, you know, had inspired me to start, you know, Art on a mission to help his children. And what he meant by his children, I believe, was all of us. There are adult children, you know, who are wounded, and there are, babies whose lives are in jeopardy with abortion. And so, you know, I came to understand it as both of those groups.
And so talk about your mission that you expressed to me before we went on the air today to save 1,000 babies.
Yeah. To do that, I kind of probably have to unwind, I guess, and try to briefly share my story, which I gave a testimonial last year at the at a Catholic men's retreat at the Bethany Center in Tampa. And during that, I got up and was extremely candid and vulnerable, and told, you know, my story of having participated in an abortion with my girlfriend back when we were 18. And so There's a lot to unpack there, so I'm not sure how much, you know, time we have. Bruce, you'll have to guide me a little bit. So I had compartmentalized it and buried it deep and tried to rationalize it and forget it. But that did not work over time. And so in my, as my faith grew stronger, when I got married, when I was 31 years old, my wife and I agreed we were going to, you know, raise our kids in the Catholic faith, and that we were going to be, you know, we were going to go to Mass every week, and, you know, we were going to, you know, have, live a stronger faith life. And so, you know, we pretty much resolved to do that, you know, from the day we were married. And so we did. And then on my 40th birthday, I read the Bible cover to cover. And on that year, you know, and in that journey, you know, I realized that I had to ask for forgiveness from God for my sin, as well as, you know, come clean with that. So I did that. It was excruciatingly difficult. And even after I had gone to confession and dealt with that issue, there was a... the other part of me, which I discovered, it was harder to forgive myself than I knew God had forgiven me, but I still hadn't forgiven myself completely.
I'm sure.
And so then I had reconnected with my girlfriend from that time, and we had a brief conversation, and sure enough, we talked about that topic, and she was relieved because she thought she was the only one suffering in silence.
Wow.
And that I didn't care, had long ago forgot, you know, but I had not. So at that point, you know, we looked... I talked about, you know, I had gone to confession and encouraged her to do the same. And then we, you know, talked about what to do and decided to name our child because we knew it was a boy. And so we named our child Gabriel and ended up getting a headstone on a plaque, if you will, on a wall for unborn children that we that I researched and found, and found that to be very helpful and cathartic, and that's, and that ended up becoming the genesis for Cause for Courage, which is my mission, and that is to help adults who have suffered abortions to, you know, to heal and forgive themselves and move on constructively. So my girlfriend from back then, she had always felt that the bad things that happened in her life were a punishment for what she had done.
Wow.
So there, you know, so obviously there's a lot of people out there that, you know, that it can be cathartic to heal from it. So when we came up, so what I did, and this was really, this is definitely my mission at the, from that point on. So we helped, you know, honor our child and named our child. And then I came up again at church, my best thinking would happen during Mass, and came up with Cause for Courage. And the name came from the fact that if there's any reason to have courage, you know, it's a child.
Well, let me give you a minute to collect yourself, because I want to jump in here and, you know, show the audience that everything that you just heard from Ed, you know, number one, thanks be to God for bringing Ed on the show, for using his experience, using his testimony, and our thanks to Ed for allowing himself to be vulnerable, because this message needs to be heard. Obviously, it's a very sensitive topic, and you hear that it's still sensitive to him today, but the good that he's done that has come from that. And more importantly, he talked about the power of the sacrament of confession. And as powerful as that is, we know that Satan is working constantly against us. And you hear what was happening there, because he knew that God forgave him when he went to confession, but he still carried it around with himself. And that's Satan trying to push us and prod us and tell us that this is still something that we do have to carry around. And because of God's grace, Ed does not have to carry it around. And to his credit, he's turned it into what you're hearing him describe now. So, Ed, please, if there's anything more that you want to say about Cause for Courage before we move on.
Yeah, so the tagline that I came up with for Cause for Courage is every child deserves a name. Mm. And so every child in heaven deserves a name, and there should be no child in heaven walking around without a name. And it's the parent's duty to name their child. So even if you haven't named a child, you know, for an abortion that happened 10, 20, 30 years ago, you know, you should still name a child.
And is there somewhere online that people can go to look for information about Cause for Courage, by the way?
CauseForCourage.com.
Okay.
And I'm in the process of launching the site within days, but CauseForCourage.com.
Okay. Okay. And this segues into something that I alluded to just before the break, which is I mentioned that the sports that you participate in now, running, biking, hiking, skiing, they're very much opportunities to be alone with God while in competition. So hearing your story now, are you in fact spending time in prayer or even just informal conversation with our Heavenly Father before, during, or after those sports? And for that matter, is there maybe one of those four that for some reason really tends to lend itself more to embracing your relationship with God than the others?
Absolutely have a, you know, deep love of nature. So being outdoors and in the wilderness, you know, is certainly a high priority. And I think, you know, God's presence is there and opportunity to pray and, you know, meditate and enjoy his presence. And so when I do some adventure hiking, some of it is alone. It's just me and the bears. And so you have your bear spray and you're always scanning 360, hoping you're not going to become lunch. and at the same time, realizing, you know, how the amazing beauty of the wild mountain flowers and, you know, and the butterflies and the other creatures. So, you know, I think God's gift to us certainly is earth and the nature and the beauty of it all. And when I run or participate in other activities, I'll often say a prayer and thank God for the ability to run. Mm. Yeah. So I could be, you know, so I'm 59 years old and, yet I can, you know, run, you know, I can run and compete with 35-year-olds in most areas. You know, I've gone on a, you know, one of my serious hikes with a 35-year-old and he was down and out for 2 days. I was ready to go the next morning on another hike. So I have that, inclination. My grandfather lived to 102 you know, I think I have some of the right genetics for living a long time. So,
well, and plus we heard you say that when you were a young boy, even though you weren't actively participating in sports the way others might have been, you did have the stamina and talked about the speed that you have. And so this kind of comes full circle that here you are at 59 and able to do everything that you're able to do in such great physical shape. I want to get back to a segue over from Cause for Courage for a moment in that I dug up what is, wow, a tremendous amount of volunteer work that you've done. Habitat for Humanities, Champions for Children, Metropolitan Ministries, Feeding Tampa Bay. Some of those seem secular, yet I know, and especially because of what we heard with Cause for Courage, I know that everything I just listed off there and that project, it's all still done from a giving Christian heart.
Yes, and that's where I have to tell you, you know, the trepidation I had when I wrote my book Exit Like a Winner. The main focus, I do mergers and acquisitions, help people buy and sell companies. That's my career, that's my profession. But when I was writing it, I knew I had to integrate Cause for Courage and abortion and pro-life issues. And so that was like, wow, how do you do that in a business book? And at the, you know, at the same time, through the grace of God, I think, you know, we cracked the code and found the formula. And one of the big issues that entrepreneurs deal with is the fact that they are naturally very optimistic. Otherwise, they never would have went into their own business in spite of cash flow issues and everything else can go wrong. And so they come in from an optimistic point of view. And that optimism, like any strength carried too far, can be a weakness. And that weakness, as it shows up for optimism, is denial. Mm. And so I used my issues, you know, of denial of what I had done and baked the story into the book. So when people read the book, so they can either relate to it directly and say, you know, they've also, you know, had an abortion, or they can say, or ask the question, maybe this is your issue of denial. Maybe it's something else. Maybe you're in denial of your addictions, of your health, of your relationships. What else, what are you in denial about in your life? So to make a good decision about when to sell your company, it's a business decision, but it's also a personal decision, because business, you can't separate a small to medium-sized business from its owner. They're intertwined. And so I help people deal with the issue of when is the right time for them by making sure, one, they've got the board out of their eye, and they're looking at it objectively, and they're dealing with their issues of denial, whatever they might be, if they have any. And so I, you know, so they're able to intertwine it powerfully to you know, serve God, but also, you know, help serve the individuals. And so it ends up being a powerfully pro-life book, but done in a way that I think is very digestible and acceptable for, you know, for even the secular world to the large degree. So I think, you know, so that was my goal, was, you know, I have to serve God in this book.
Well, and there's another factor at play here, and we'll close with this. Your book is called Exit Like a Winner, The Proven Success Formula for Selling Your Business. A lot of people automatically think that means late in life, the end of one's business career. But even though that's not necessarily the case, the point here is lots of people's thoughts go to leaving a legacy. But based on your story, I have a feeling you're going to wrap this up by saying that your legacy should not be defined by what you did in business. I don't want to put words in your mouth, though. So closing thoughts, Ed?
Yes, no, absolutely. It's your legacy is... will be your family, your children, the causes that have merit for you, and for you to spend all your waking hours, whether it's counting inventory or making sales or fixing business problems, rather than maybe fixing relationships or nurturing relationships with your grandchildren or helping in some other way or of merit. There's a quote that I use in my book. And that is, character, like a photograph, develops in darkness, from Yosef Karsh, a photographer, is a quote from him. And so, though we've all had our troubles and our turbulences, that's where character comes from. And it's about living each day full out, you know, and serving God's will and helping us all get closer to Christ.
Well, Ed, I can't thank you enough for coming on Catholic Sports Radio, and thank you for making yourself vulnerable and for sharing a very emotional story with the audience. God bless you and the work that you're doing for the kingdom, and I'm really grateful that you made time to be on Catholic Sports Radio.
My pleasure. Thank you very much.
And audience, as a nod to the competitor that you heard me say that Ed still is to this day participating in running, biking, hiking, and skiing, let us close with our sportsman's prayer. And we'll, of course, do it together in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Heavenly Father, you have blessed us with our minds, our spirits, and our bodies. Help us always to be good sports. Help us to understand that when we put on the team uniform, we are first and foremost ambassadors of the Catholic faith. May we always remember that those with whom we play and compete are our brothers and sisters in Christ. May we always treat each other with dignity and respect. May our work and play always give you honor and glory. This we ask through Christ our Lord. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Thanks so much for listening. This is Catholic Sports Radio. Find more at catholicsportsradio.net, as well as on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. It is at Cath Sports Radio on all those, C-A-T-H, at Cath Sports Radio. I'm Bruce Wozniak, and remember, it's not whether you win or lose, it's that it's Jesus that you always choose.